Today's shiur for the sixth of Teves, Vav Teves, is in Perek Vav, in chapter 6, and in Lessons in Tanya, it's on page 102. The Alter Rebbe said that all the acts, everything that a person does under the sun, in the mundane world, all of it belongs to the category of animal soul garments. It is the garment of action, and it is the animal soul's garment. In today's Shia, the Rebbe adds, V'chein kol hadiburim v'chol hamachshoveis asher leila Hashem heimo l'rtzeinu l'abedosi. Not only the actions of this world are ungodly, but also the speech and the thoughts. If they don't have a godly purpose, if they're not part of the service of God, they too belong to the unholy soul. They belong to the other side. Shezehu pirush loshon sitra achra, and this is the meaning of the term sitra achra, which means pirush tzad acher she'enei tzad hakedusha. Sitra achra is the Aramaic for the other side. Why is unholiness called the other side? Because what describes and defines unholiness is that it is not holy. Its existence is a negative one. Like darkness is the absence of light, unholiness is the absence of holiness. So how do we describe what is unholy? By simply excluding it from holiness. By eliminating it from holiness, it is unholy. So if we're going to describe unholiness by saying that it is not holy, so now we need a definition for what is holy. V'tzad ha-gedusha einai elo hashro v'hamshocho mikdusho seshal ha-kodesh baruch. What does holiness mean? What is holiness what constitutes holiness? Holiness means that which allows for God to be present and to be drawn into in this world, that's called holy. Where is God present and where is God drawn? Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheira El Al Dover Shabotel Etzle Yisbarech. God can be present, can be visible, only in those things that are completely surrendered to Him. Obviously, if God is to be visible, if God is to be present as He is, He can only be present if you make room for Him. And to make room for Him means you have to move yourself aside. Moving yourself aside, that's called surrendered. So that which is surrendered to God, or transparent, that is holy. In this surrendered state, there are two possibilities. Bein bepoel mamish, it can be a literal, actual surrender, kimalochim loyenim, as is the case with the angels in heaven, where they are totally transparent. Their whole existence consists of carrying out God's will. Obein bekayach, the other way that this surrender, the other form that it comes in, is in potential. Kechol ish yisrael lamata, every Jew here on earth has in potential the transparency and the capacity for total surrender to God. Shebekoyche li yeis botel mamish v'gabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mesiras nafshi HaKadoshas Hashem. Every Jew has the potential to become completely nullified and surrendered to God when he gives up his life in order to sanctify God's name. When a Jew sacrifices himself for godliness, it's not because of some desire to attain a state of martyrdom or to gain a portion in heaven or to prove a point. The Jew sacrifices his life for God's name simply because he is transparent and doesn't exist for himself and therefore is not capable of denying God. And that potential exists at all times, and it's only on occasion where, put to the wall or put to the test, this potential is actualized and the Jew suddenly realizes that he can't be anything but godly. Some people, the tzaddikim, live on that level constantly. It's not in potential. It's actualized. But by most people, that's why the Rebbe says, "Kechol ish Yisrael lamata," and every Jew here below, the average Jew, it is a potential state that is actualized only on occasion. And that's why the sages said, that even if one person is sitting and studying Torah, one person alone is sitting and studying Torah, the Shechina dwells and is visible and felt around him. But where there are 10 Jews, then the Shechina is present at all times, meaning even if they're not studying Torah, even if they're not doing anything godly, what causes the Shechina to dwell there? In the case of the person who's sitting alone and studying, the Torah that he's studying causes godliness to be revealed. What, when there are 10 Jews together and they're not studying Torah, what causes godliness then to be revealed? So the answer is the potential surrender, the potential bittul, the potential transparency of 10 souls together makes up an actual transparency. And that allows God to be felt and experienced. We're actually told that if an angel would come into a room where there are 10 Jews together, the angel would be consumed by the holiness. But anything that is not surrendered itself to God, it draws attention to itself and not to its creator. It exists as a separate entity. This unholy thing, because it separates itself and draws attention to itself, it doesn't receive life from God's holiness. Obviously, it gets life from God, as everything must, but not from the holiness of God. What is the holiness of God? Mibechinas pnimis hakdusha umuhusa v'atzmusa bekvedo v'atzma. From the essence, the inner holiness, the essential holiness of God himself. Ela mibechinas achazayim. He gets it rather from the back, not from the pnimi, the face of God, of holiness, but from the back, the hind part of holiness. The life flow from God comes down through the many levels. Revolves madregeis, tens of thousands of levels. In the chain of worlds, derech ilo v'olo, in the manner of cause and effect. Each link in this chain of worlds and in these levels through which the chayas comes down is connected. Each link is connected to the other in the form of cause and effect, which means one produces the other in a gradual descent. This is not a great jump where the life flow comes directly from a higher level to the lower level. It goes through each level and is transformed in the process through the cause and effect. V'tzimtzumim rabim, in addition to that, there are also many contractions where the godliness and the life is contracted and filtered out, ad shenismayit kol kacha'e v'hachayus, until the light and the life force become so diminished, miyut achar miyut, until it comes down into that thing that exists for itself, until it can clothe itself and contract itself in the form of exile, within that thing that is a separate entity, that is not transparent, that is unholy, to give it life and to give it existence, to bring it into being from non-being. That that it shouldn't return to being nothingness, to non-existence, as it was before it was created. So in order for it to exist, there has to be a certain flow of life and vitality coming from God, but that vitality is enough only to keep it in existence. How does it come to be that way? Through the many contractions, the many tzimtzumim, and through the many chain of levels through which it comes until it is diminished to the point where it can give life to this unholy thing without revealing godliness to it. So that even when it receives godliness, when it receives its life from God, it does not recognize or appreciate the fact that it is coming from God. This hind part of holiness means to say that when you give with your face to face, that's giving from your inner will. That means that you give not only an attribute or a gift, in this case, life and existence, but when God gives from his face, pnimius hagdusha, then he's giving of himself. Because the face is an expression of the person. When he gives over the shoulder, when you turn your back to somebody and you give him something, then you're giving him the thing, but not yourself. So that it's coming from you to the person, but it isn't really of you. There's no part of yourself in the giving. The result is that the receiver also receives it in a non-pnimiyazdika fashion. It's not geared for him, it's not tailored for him, it doesn't fit him properly, so he receives it and yet he doesn't quite receive it. It is given to him but not really for him. So it is given from the giver but not of the giver. It is given to the receiver but not for the receiver. And the result is that even when he receives it, it finds no hospitality within him. The godliness that he receives feels exiled, is like in Golus within him, within the unholiness. So that even after he receives it, rather than appreciate it and be humbled by the gift, it makes him more arrogant. Like in exile, when the Jew comes in another nation, in another country, and brings with him the holiness and the wisdom and the goodness and even the physical benefits, economic benefits, Golus means that his contribution is not appreciated. And for all that he does for his host country, he is not rewarded. On the contrary, he is accused of not giving enough and blamed for all the problems and so on. So when an unholy person is given a gift, then it not only doesn't it humble him, it makes him more arrogant. He takes it as a sign of his own deservingness rather than the kindness of the giver. That's why it says by Esav, that for every kindness that God did for him, he became more arrogant, yeshli zav. And by Yaakov it says that katenti mikol achsadim, that with every kindness he became more humbled. In the Hayem Yem for the sixth day of Teves, the Rebbe writes, "Ksiv da'as elikei avicha v'avdeyu belef sholim, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart. Ki kol inyin yediyah v'hasagim." And this means that every subject that we understand and know, afilu b'inyonim hayeser amukin, even in the deepest and most esoteric subjects, tzarich love ba'aveda, that knowledge has to find expression in the service of God. Hainu, what does it mean to find expression in the service of God? Pu'ulas davar bebirir v'zichach hamidis, it should have a practical effect in the purifying and the cleansing of the emotions. Vahiskashras pnimis, and an internal bond and binding to holiness and to God, hanikra beloshen chassidus aveda, and that is what is in Hasidic terminology called aveda.